We're checking in on the restaurant industry in Wisconsin on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here. The most recent data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics shows Wisconsin's hospitality industry remains nearly 30,000 jobs below pre-pandemic levels. The National Restaurant Association is urging Congress to provide additional federal aid to restaurants that are struggling. And in a letter to congressional leaders, they asked to replenish the Restaurant Revitalization Fund that has been stalled in Congress. Do you work in the hospitality industry? How are you doing? 800-642-1234. Danielle Bearwald is board chair for the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, whose members include thousands of food service businesses. She owns Irv's Mug in Oak Creek. Danielle, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. So starting with those inflationary pressures, inflation hits everyone in the pocketbook. How is it affecting restaurants like yours in the restaurant industry as a whole?
Well, I think it's affected us.
Infected as well.
It's a better word. It's from one end to the other at the receiving side. You know, we're seeing an increase in food, just as everyone is at the grocery stores, but we're also seeing an increase in the costs of goods to provide the food. So when you talk about a go order, you have the box and the plastic fork and all of those types of things. All of those things have gone up or are not available in some cases. There's been a struggle that way as well. In addition, you've had the increased labor costs, which continue to grow as the demand for increased wages, particularly in the hospitality industry. I believe we've tried to step up and make sure that we are living wages. We are paying living wages to our staff. We are providing a decent income to attract the staff and hold on to the staff that we have. So we're seeing it on every facet of the business right now.
Before we go on to staffing, I was just struck by even the smallest detail, like a plastic fork costing 5 cents. Every single penny hits the bottom line of that restaurant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you talk about the 5 cent fork and the 30 cent cup and the 25 cent box and the oil that we fry the fish fries in went from under a dollar to a dollar and a half a pound. It grows and grows. And the volume that you're looking at, you know, it's only 5 cent fork, but you're using, you know, several thousand of them a week. Mm-hmm. So it adds up pretty quickly.
So looking at staffing, and I just looked at these numbers this morning, ZipRecruiter data as of last week, the average annual pay for a restaurant server in Wisconsin, $23,000 a year. Indeed's data last week, average salary for a restaurant staff in Wisconsin, $12.41 per hour, $45 tips per day. What needs to happen with wages?
I think there's a lot of restaurants, particularly in the quick service segment, that offer those first-time jobs. We offer the pathway to becoming a skilled employee to our teenagers. And those wages certainly get skewed, in my belief, down from the wages that are being paid a line cook or certainly a chef or a manager. When you look at the wages that are being paid our teenagers to come in and learn skills, both soft skills, how to relate to people, how to deal with their fellow employees, how to show up on time, what a broom looks like in some cases, how to sweep a floor. Those are skills that we teach to those young 14, 15, 16-year-olds. And we're going to need two or three of those individuals to fill a job position that an adult would fill with just one body. So I think the wages do get skewed to some degree, at least in our case. Hmm. Our 14 and 15-year-olds are not paid as much as our adults who are supporting families, and this is their full-time career. So I think there has to be some recognition of that that the wages being paid to the young individuals who this is their first time job, and we're helping them learn how to be good employees for the future, have to somehow be segregated out from the wages that we're paying to our full-time staff, that this is their profession. Because I know in my case, my wages certainly are not reflective of those numbers.
But some pushback here, because there are part-time workers, part-time staff, part-time servers who want to be full-time, but they don't know what that shift is going to look like maybe tomorrow or next week. And they know that the restaurant, you know, part-time, it allows that restaurant to hold down their labor costs, maybe not offering the full benefits, maybe allowing the restaurant to be more nimble to fluctuate hours. So there is definitely a downside to that part-time labor.
Certainly there is a downside to the part-time labor, but there is also an upside too. We provide jobs to people who otherwise would not be in the workforce. They want to work from 10 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon while their children are in school. They want to work on the weekends only because they themselves are going to school full time through college or perhaps pursuing a second career. The flexibility in restaurants and scheduling is something that I think is one of the virtues of our industry.
Talking with Danielle Berwald, board chair of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, hearing your insights on restaurants, 800-642-1234. Marianne joining us from Middleton. Hi, Marianne. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to make the comment that we made a real commitment to support restaurants that supported COVID safety during this pandemic. And our primary restaurant was located near the UW Hospital, and we felt that it was not only protective of the UW Hospital medical staff that might lunch there, it was also protective of the elder customers that would dine there. They boasted all staff are vaccinated. They had very lovely outdoor seating. And in the fall of 2020, they invested in an HVAC system that imitates the hospital for maximum ventilation of air and safety within their dining room. In 2021, they started the policy where if you want to dine in, you must be vaccinated. If you want to sit outside and eat, you can be unvaccinated.
They made great, great measures. Marianne, you're listing off a number of them, and I want to get Danielle here to respond to that. What do you make of these restaurants who really clamp down on public health?
I think it's a great investment on their behalf. Certainly, I want to be of the position that the restaurants have their own decisions to make regarding what works best for them and their customers. The support that we saw during the pandemic for small business was amazing. And I'd like to thank the listener for that comment. We did go, many, many restaurants went above and beyond whatever their communities were recommending to make sure that their customers were safe. And we still do. But I like to think that it is up to the businesses to make those decisions for themselves.
Last month, acting Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson issued a new mandate requiring people to wear face coverings in public spaces. And your association warned such a mandate will have a chilling effect on businesses. What do you make of masks?
Well, I think it's, again, up to the business. Every business is different and has a different clientele. We have left it optional for our staff to wear masks. Some of them do and some do not. We have made it mandatory for any of our unvaccinated individuals, of which we only have a couple, to wear masks while they are working. The chilling effect comes from when you make a mandate like that in a large city like Milwaukee, it sends a message to the public that it's not safe to go out. And I don't believe that's true. We've been serving people safely in our restaurants for almost 2 years now, both carry out and, you know, initially in the pandemic, and then dining in as of the summer of 2020 or 2019. And the idea that it's not safe, that comes across loud and clear when you mandate masks once again, instead of letting the individuals make their own choices of what's best for them.
Danielle Bearwald with us, restaurant owner, new board chair of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, nonprofit trade group formed nearly 90 years ago. How do you feel restaurants are weathering these times? Should patrons be required to wear masks? How would you like to see restaurants draw in their workforce, keep people in the industry? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking with the Wisconsin Restaurant Association on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The restaurant industry has been one of the hardest hit. The National Restaurant Association survey of operators out this month finds 88% of restaurants have seen a decline in customer demand for indoor dining in the Omicron surge. How is yours doing? Your favorite one, favorite restaurant, 800-642-1234. Danielle Bearwald, board chair of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, with us for nine more minutes. Jerry is joining us in Viola. Jerry, hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
I love that we're talking about restaurant workers. It seems like we were a forgotten class for decades. I'm involved with several restaurants, and I'm just going to put it out there. Restaurant workers should and deserve to get paid more, and I don't think it has to affect the bottom line. Because you can have more efficient people if you have a happier staff and you have less turnover. And I think it's just time to pay these people.
Jerry, let me ask you this, Jerry. How might this model that we're seeing of paying restaurant staff a living wage, do you see that as a more sustainable restaurant business model that will emerge post-pandemic? Do you see that as here to stay?
I've been involved my whole life in restaurants, and I oversee 9 restaurants. And restaurants that have paid more in the past have fared better during the pandemic and pre-pandemic by paying their people more. Just they have less turnover. Their customers get to know their staff. I always say you can pay people more and have a lower labor percentage. And people always say, oh, how can you do that? Well, by the reasons I just stated, you know, retaining staff and having them be more efficient because they know what they're doing. You're not training some new guy every 2 weeks.
Jerry, so. You bring up a lot of points. Let's get Danielle to weigh in here. Go ahead, Danielle.
I agree 100%. I think the market at this point, at least in the Milwaukee area, you will not get applicants walking in the door for something that is under $15 an hour. They're not coming in. Whether you're looking for a dishwasher or a cook, they're simply not applying. Even at higher wage rates, they're not applying. So if you want to keep the people you have and you want quality employees, you have to pay them, and you should be paying them. Honestly, they're good workers. They work hard. They represent your business. The people in the front of the house are the face of your business with the interaction with the customers on a daily basis. That's your investment. That's the way that you reach your customers and bring your customers back. And it is absolutely correct that's the most important thing you can do for your business is pay your people well to keep them.
Jerry, thank you for calling in. Kathy now in Milwaukee. Hi, Kathy. What is on your mind?
I just wanted to say the previous caller made great points. I was going to say when I worked at the Hilton Milwaukee City Center, we only made $5 an hour. We were union. That was considered high for a server to be making. And since we were union, our union dues were taken out. So if we weren't making tips that week, we weren't making money. So also, as to your guest's point, why I don't believe teenagers should be miscounted. I believe they should be paid equally. They're doing the same job that other people are. and they are doing the work, they're putting in the work, so they should get paid equally. They are saving for their futures. They may be providing for their families. They deserve equal pay. And that's all I wanted to tell.
Kathy, are you still in the restaurant industry or hospitality?
Yeah, we've been in, yes, absolutely. We've been in there for the last 5 to 7 years.
How has it been for you? What have you noticed in these times?
Well, besides getting laid off for, 8 months, it's been incredibly easy to walk into a place and, try to find new employment. But that was never really an issue in the service industry because, as the previous guest had mentioned, turnover is incredibly rampant because when you're not getting paid and you're not getting the hours you want, somebody else will give you that. So it's really easy to just walk in somewhere else. And so retention in the service industry is a huge issue.
Kathy, thank you for giving us a glimpse. Danielle, retention, a huge issue.
Absolutely. And along those lines, I would just want to mention something that at least we at IRVS are very, very proud of. Our average employee at IRVS has been there over 8 years, with our longest being 41 years. We've been in business for 43.
Wow.
So we work very hard to keep the people that are good employees and keep them happy and make sure that they represent our business well.
Talking with Danielle Bearwald, board chair of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association and owner of a restaurant in Oak Creek. Danielle, patrons also very concerned about tipping, that front of house servers rely too heavily on them and your customer doesn't know if giving that tip, doesn't know whether it's going to be distributed with back of house that might have had even a greater role in your meal. What is your philosophy about the state of tipping?
Well, for my staff, my servers, my bartenders vehemently oppose abolishing tipping. They want to keep that. All of our servers and bartenders keep the tips that they make themselves. In order to have any back of the house or other personnel that are traditional non-tipped employees share in a tip pool, one need to pay everybody above minimum wage, and you need to have an agreement on that. So it's you can't just unilaterally decide, oh, we're going to share the tips with the cooks tonight. There have to be agreements in place, and there are safeguards to make sure that the tipped employees are making at least a minimum wage.
It's not something you can just blink and institute. It's something that it sounds like a restructuring of how you pay employees.
Correct. Correct.
Let's go to Troy now in Muskego. Troy, hi.
Hello. I got 2 points. One of them is I noticed when this thing started getting really thick with this pandemic and a lot of the red areas politically, I feel like restaurants, they're pillars of the community and they serve the community. And I know a lot of business owners and a lot of restaurant owners. And a lot of them showed a blatant disregard for the health and safety of the community they serve. And, I mean, there are some places you couldn't even go in, and they didn't even have hand sanitizer, And I think that just shows a blatant disregard for the people they serve. And I feel like if they go under, that's on them. And another thing is, just a real quick point, is it's kind of irritating that as customers, we're having to pay these tips for, fast food restaurants where they're putting a little spot there. Like I know one place in particular, when you order a sub, they automatically ask you for a tip right up front when you're paying at the register for it to go takeout. And that's totally irresponsible for the business owners. They're, instead of giving their employees a higher wage, they're passing the buck on to me, the customer.
And Troy, thank you. And I want to shift this back to Danielle in our final moments here. Troy starting out saying restaurants are the pillar of the community. Go ahead, Danielle.
Well, I agree with Troy, and supporting those restaurants that you want to see remain is how you make sure that those restaurants that are doing things that you agree with stay in business. The ones that are taking the extra precautions, the ones that you see the same employees over and over again, you know that they're treating their employees right. You know that they're doing the things that are in the best interest for their customers. And that's that's your power. That's the customer's power to vote with their dollars and support the people who are making, support the businesses who are making those decisions.
Danielle, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
Danielle Bearwald is board chair of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, owner of Irv's Mug in Oak Creek. Ahead this hour, the influence of the president on federal judgeship appointments. We talk with the UW-Milwaukee political scientist about President Biden's drive to seat federal judges. Has the process of confirming judges become too polarized or entrenched, or is this inevitable? 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.